Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk.
And welcome into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for stopping by today. Kicking off the show, John Gatchel, Jeff Bland with Tango Helena and some music to set the scene there to lead us in. Guys, thanks for taking some time this morning.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Let's talk tango. First, maybe give us a little bit of a history lesson. I mean, you've tried to educate me a little bit on this, but tango came originally, you said, Buenos Aires. Is that where it came from to start?
Yeah, Buenos Aires was a place where people came from Europe, from the Americas, from Africa to work. And it gathered people, and they brought with them their musical traditions and rhythms. And slowly over time, people worked hard and they wanted to play hard. So they began to create a form of music that synthesized, had strains from all three different continents that became developed basically in the slums and in the brothels and in the barrios of Buenos Aires, and eventually became what we know today as Argentine tango.
So it was, from its very start, sort of a conglomeration of various different things. It was never its own thing. It started out saying, let's borrow from here and there and form something unique.
Yeah, I think it just arose. It's a fusion.
Yeah.
It's got a, so as John said, it started kind of as a lower class thing for the men to do that were working in those neighborhoods in Buenos Aires, and then it rose up to be more of a cultural thing that we know of today. But it's got an African rhythm, more or less, European instrumentation. The bandoneon, the main instrument, is actually German originally. It sounds like an accordion, but it's been kind of owned by tango now.
Yeah, well, and it's spread everywhere. I mean, now it's not just there. I mean, it's there. Why is that? I mean, what is it about tango that it seems like it's a draw for people, I suppose, both to watch and to participate in? There's a different draw for both of those. But when we see somebody dancing tango, we want to stand there and watch.
Yeah, there's that aspect of it. I think there's the popular conception of like Scent of a Woman, where Al Pacino's dancing it, or a woman with a rose in her mouth. And there's that aspect of it. But really, it's a social dance. So it's very social, and it's also improvisational. There's not really a step like in swing where you go back step, triple step. There isn't any of that. It's improvisational. So you kind of are making up the dance as you go along. And it's also challenging, which can really draw people in. It really gets you in the moment.
Well, in that music that we opened with there, that feels tango, right? But you had sent me some other clips that are versions of tango that they don't necessarily sound like that stereotypical backdrop that you would see those people dancing. But I guess that's part of tango, right? Is that it can be danced to pretty much anything.
Yeah, tango can be danced to all kinds of music, blues, jazz, rock, whatever inspires you, because it's improvisational. You know, we return to the golden age tango music from the big band era of Buenos Aires, because it's beautiful music, and it was all written and performed for thousands of dancers. And so all over the world, people share that music. You can go to Mexico, Asia, Europe, and you'll hear that golden age music. But you'll also hear people playing alternative, dancing to jazz, blues, because it is an improvisational dance.
Well, and we're talking tango this morning in relation to Tango Helena. It's a local dance cooperative, and you guys have some classes upcoming. Can you explain a little bit about what Tango Helena is and what these classes, sort of what they are and who they're for?
Tango Helena is a nonprofit dance cooperative. You know, we're people that love to dance. It says, nos encanta bailar, in the window in Spanish, which means we love to dance. And so we have a dance studio across from the post office downtown on Placer Street. And we host dances there, known as milongas for tango. We have practicas every week, and we have workshops. We bring in dance teachers from San Francisco, New York, Buenos Aires, right here to Helena, and we offer classes.
And so when it comes to tango and the classes that you have, I mean, can someone like me, I can pretty much do that rock back and forth slow dance thing. Not really a dance. We just sort of sway. You know, could I come in and learn and succeed in a class like this? Is it sort of designed that way?
Yes, absolutely. Our classes are Mondays at 6:30 for level one and 8 o'clock for level two. And there's some practice in between that. So we're open to all levels. It's a very friendly community. With our level one, we kind of start at the basics. And then if you continue with it, you can keep going with that. And so, yeah, absolutely. Everyone's invited.
You don't need any previous dance experience.
Okay. And you don't need a partner either. That's amazing.
Okay, yeah. So you can just
we do switch off. We tend to switch partners. You don't have to, but that we tend to do that in class so that you get experience dancing with other people.
Is that a little bit because, like you said, it's improvisational? I mean, does that help that aspect of it so you don't just fall into the same routine with the same person every time as you're learning? Does that switching partners, does that help in that aspect?
Yeah, greatly. And I think you learn a lot just by dancing with different partners. Mm-hmm.
So your group, members of your group will, you said dance in cities, I mean, across the state, but also, you know, Seattle, San Francisco, Portland. You guys go and actually go to different places to go to dances, right?
Yeah.
It's like field trip day.
Yeah. Exactly. We'll get a group of people and we'll go. Portland and Seattle and San Francisco are big cities. I mean, you could go to Tokyo or Seoul, South Korea. They have enormous communities. I got to dance in Paris once on the Seine River, on a riverboat. So it's all over the place. Some people take trips down to Buenos Aires, and that's kind of the Mecca, so to speak. So, yeah, we do travel to different festivals that we know. And we have a festival here in Helena in April every year.
Okay.
That's well attended as well, the Helena or Tango Helena Uprising Festival. So,
that feels like more like a level two thing. I don't think us level one folks are quite.
No,
to that
you
point,
you but. Would be welcome.
Right,
be welcome.
Yeah, actually, and we'll have we'll have teachers and classes during the festival in early April to teach to all levels.
Okay,
and the teachers in this case are coming from Belgium, San Francisco, and in California.
Wow. So before we get to the point where we feel like, hey, we're ready to be on that travel team for Tango Helena, you know, we need to learn. The classes start up Monday night. We talked a little bit about those, but what are the specifics? I mean, how do people look into these classes? What's the cost? That sort of thing.
The class series is a 6-week series, and it costs $50 for students. It's half price, and you can go online to our Tango Helena website. If you look up Tango Helena, it'll come up, and just go. You can register in advance, or you can just show up at 6:30 Monday. Next Monday.
Okay.
And
that's $50 per person. Like, so if a couple shows up, it's $50 for each person, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I want to make sure people don't show up thinking it's $50 a pair and I cause you guys troubles. So what would folks need to bring? I mean, for the guys, do they need that red button down shirt, slacks? Do you need that rose, you know, to clench in the teeth?
No,
I mean,
no.
What needs to be brought?
Just a clarification that $50 would be for 6 classes. It's not for one class. So it's a 6-week series.
Right.
No, I mean, just bring yourself. I mean, we have people that come in dressed as cowboys. We have people that come in dressed in T-shirts and people that come in sometimes with a tie on. But no, just come in respectful. You know, usually there's a hygiene thing since you're dancing kind of close sometimes. But no, there's not a whole lot of expectation, just like any other social function.
But you have to have the right shoes for this, right?
Well,
yes.
For the classes, just clean shoes that have a smooth sole.
Okay.
And if your shoes don't work, we'll just tell you take off your shoes and
just go socks. Okay.
And we do have some, yeah, like the rubber sole on a tennis shoe isn't going to turn as well and could mark up the floor. But we actually do also have shoes you can borrow there if any of them fit. So it's pretty accommodating.
Okay. And do people need to sign up ahead of time? Do they need to go online and sign up? Is that helpful to you? Or do you mind if they just show up day of on Monday?
We go either way. It's helpful if they sign up in advance, but if people show up Monday, we're happy to have them so they can come in. They should come probably about a few minutes early to register, like around 6:20.
Okay.
And the studio's at 13 Placer in downtown Helena, right across from the post office.
Okay. So right across from that post office downtown. It starts on Monday is when these classes start. If people aren't quite ready for that, will you have another session down the road? yeah. that they can sign up for?
Yeah, we'll have another session. And we also have practicas every week, so you can actually show up on Thursdays at any time between 6:30 and 8:30 and learn a little bit.
Okay, fantastic.
Get a little taste of tango. Yeah.
Yep.
Guys, thanks so much for coming in. We're talking Tango Helena. They've got classes starting on Monday. You can look them up online, find more information at Tango Helena on their website. But John Gatchel and Jeff Blend, gentlemen, thanks for coming in today.
Thank you, Troy.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
Stick around. We've got more Coffee Break coming up after this. I just wanted to step away from the show for a few seconds to tell you that if you miss an episode, you can always catch up. We're on iTunes, so find our show there or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Local and area events, city, state, and national officials, your neighbors doing incredible things. We talk to them all on Coffee Break, where Helena comes to talk. It's brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. Now, back to the show. And welcome back into Coffee Break. I'm Troy Shockley. Thanks for sticking around. And just a note for you, you can now catch our show on your schedule. It's the Coffee Break podcast. You can find us at coffeebreak959.podbean.com. There's a link at the top of our website, kcap.com. That'll take you right there. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn. We're all over out there. But in here, finishing off our show, we've got Volunteer Fire Chief Bob Drake. And he brought along a sidekick this morning. We've got Gabby Walker. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Bob usually is the one drawing short straws for other people, saying, hey, guess what? You're coming in this month, but drew your own straw today.
I did. We had something to say, so we thought we'd come in. But yeah, it's kind of fun to get it all lined up for the other departments to come in. So
yeah, I sure appreciate you doing that because I think it's a good thing. Educate me, educate the public on what you guys do and what you guys need. And Gabby, you're first timer in the studio this morning.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I've been on Tri-Lakes for quite some time, and I think this is a big step that our department's taking and getting the medications and being able to serve our district better.
Yeah. We've got some medical stuff to talk about, but I want to talk about just quick. You're a singer.
Yeah.
We want to let people know. That's important.
Yes,
we had Tango to start off, so we might as well finish with the musical theme.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And the radio station I love, they play this my songs on the radio sometimes, and it's great hearing it on my hometown radio station. Absolutely.
So tell us a little bit about that. If people are listening to us and maybe don't hear your music, tell us a little bit about your music and what is it you do?
Well, I went to Nashville about 2 years ago, released an album, and hopefully we'll go back in the next maybe year, 2 years, and go make some more music. So yeah, I do that on top of volunteer fire, work on the ambulance, and
yeah, got nothing. Yeah. You got nothing really going on.
Never, you know.
Yeah, so you might as well
downtime.
Yeah, you might as well come in and chat today.
Her CD is really awesome too.
Yeah, no, it's very good. Check it out.
Really awesome.
And you were talking about adding stuff, and to give folks context, Bob, you're adding to your medical services. I mean, what does that look like? What are you guys doing?
So Tri-Lakes is huge. We got 120 yeah. square miles of and five stations, and it's, you know, really far out from where the ambulance and the paramedics and that kind of stuff are. And through the years, we can get a medical endorsement or a medicine endorsement. We can add it to our license, which is what we're doing now. And we've never done that in the past because of the cost. And now we're with the opioid epidemic, we're seeing a lot of elderly that are accidentally overdosing. Mm. And so naloxone is the drug that they're
right.
that counteracts that.
Yeah, well, there's police officers carrying that around now right. in places.
Well, in order for us to carry it, we got to add it to our service. Our service license for the DePaul department, and then we have to get our individual EMTs medicine endorsements and trained, and then of course we got to buy it all and get it, you know. So it's not as easy. You don't just say, hey, we're going to carry naloxone today,
right.
and then quite rightly we're looking at everything else that we can carry because there's a limited amount of things that we can. So EpiPen, everybody's heard of EpiPens and epinephrine for allergic reactions. Well, that's one of the things that we are allowed to carry. The problem is the auto injectors went to $600 a piece, and they only last, you know, 12.
Yeah, there's 12 a shelf 18, life.
Right.
Yeah.
Very short shelf life for, you know, a service like ours. It just was way too expensive to do that. Well, we've been able to get change through the protocols, which the medical board of medical examiners, they rule us over what we can and cannot do with protocols, they call them. So we have a certain protocols that we have to follow, and we're only allowed to do what they allow us to. And in the past, we could only use the EpiPens, which are so expensive. So they've now changed it so we can carry the little ampules and draw it into syringe ourselves, which cuts the cost from up to $600 for one or two doses to $5. I mean, it's just
that matters.
Huge, yeah. Huge cost savings. So we're looking at adding that along with the naloxone. So we're looking at the whole thing, and we as a service, we do everything together. That's what volunteers do. We sit down, hash it out, and figure out what we want to do and what we're capable of doing. You know, for instance, I've never gotten my IV endorsement because in order to give somebody an IV, you got to be proficient at it. Mm-hmm. Well, in order to be proficient at it, you got to do it. Well, we don't get enough sticks. You know, we don't do it often enough. I'm not going to torture some little old lady or
Gabby.
Yeah. Or anybody else for that matter. But I mean, that's who we deal with mostly. And I just don't want to torture them. So I refuse to get it because we can't be proficient at it. So this is the same thing. In order for us to carry this stuff, there has to be a certain level of use or we're just rusty.
So what does all of this take? I mean, because as you said, there's lots of steps involved. And there's the cost involved. So this isn't something you're doing tomorrow.
No. Well, the first thing we have to do is we have to get with the state that licenses the service. So Tri-Lakes has a service license. That license has to be at a level that will allow us to do this, our people to do it. So the service has to be licensed first, and we're going through that step right now. And then our medical director, who is at St. Pete's, they're really who we work for, and we work under that's the doctor's license also. So whatever we do is a reflection on him. So he has to approve that we have done the training and done the steps and what we're doing makes sense. So he has to approve that, and then we have to get individual endorsements on each of our licenses in order to be able to do medication. So it's really a three-step process for us to add medications to our service.
So you're about to get even busier, Gabby. That's what we're saying here, because you've got more stuff now to worry about.
Game on.
Yeah, she's a superstar. So she can do it when she's working on the ambulance. So she's one of the ones. We have three people who have worked or do work for the ambulance service, St. Pete's Ambulance Service. So they have all the endorsements and everything. As soon as we get our service license in place, then they're going to be able to do that.
And most of your calls, at least generally from what I hear from the various volunteer fire departments, a lot of the calls you respond to are medical. Right? I mean, there's medical needs.
Yeah, most of them are now. So, like, the fire service has kind of changed in that way to have to adapt more now for the more medical type things. You know, there's not as many house fires as there used to be, and now there's more demand for medical situations, you know, as the population's become more unhealthy, you know, as time goes by, things like that. So it's something that the fire department, you know, has been adapting to and trying to be able to be more effective in more than just one aspect of community service.
So what's it like for someone that is involved with the ambulance service that sees this all the time to sort of see Tri-Lakes taking this step, saying, you know what, we see this, we recognize this, this is something we have to do, to sort of see that and to be a part of that? It's got to be kind of a proud thing and an exciting thing.
It is, absolutely. I mean, I'm very proud of the fire department and of the ambulance, and I think it'll be a really great step as far as, I mean, to get to most calls in Tri-Lakes takes a little while for the ambulance, you know, because we're stationed, you know, in town, East Valley, West Valley, so we have a little bit of a travel time. And and the volunteers will get there before we do on the ambulance. So for them to be able to get there, get that head start of giving the medications and everything, get that patient on the right track before the ambulance even gets there, I think is a really huge step for taking better care of our patients. Absolutely.
What's been the response, Bob? I mean, from the men and women that are involved here, and you said, hey, look, this is what we're going to do. What are you hearing from them?
Well, the volunteers are really there to help people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's different reasons. Every single one of us volunteers for, you know, a little bit different background. But the common thread is we want to help people. So everybody wants to help, but at the same time, they don't want to hurt. You know, and when we start into medications, if I give epi when or too much or when it's not appropriate, I can hurt them now, where before I didn't have to worry about that because we couldn't give it.
Right.
But I can also help them. So there's a trepidation around when we start expanding because I can hurt people.
So what's the timeline here? Because you do, like you said, you want to learn how to do this and do it the right way. So what is the timeline? Do you have something set out as far as benchmarks of by this time we want this done, by this time? Or is it we're going to start this process and see how long it takes us to do it right?
We've started the process about 6 months ago. Our license part for the service has already been added to. So the state has... Our license is there. Now we've got to get the medical director comfortable with what we're doing, and he's working on that. Then he has to go into the system and basically endorse, basically put his butt on the line
right
with us and say, okay, I authorize these things. And then we already have three people that are fully trained and capable. So we'll start doing it, and then we've got to have an endorsement class that gets us, the rest of us, the medication endorsement. So, and that'll take, it could take us 3 months to get that class in place.
But it sounds like it's something that, I mean, it's absolutely going to be beneficial and expands what you're able to do. And that has to feel good because you're all, like you said, you're out here to help people. And it's got to be a frustrating thing when that's your mission and you show up and you know maybe what needs to be done, but you can't do it.
Well, there is no worse feeling than helpless. Mm-hmm. And that's how you feel when you get there. That's what got me into the medical stuff for Trilex. I wasn't an EMT to begin with in the first almost 10 years of being there because I just couldn't do it. I'm an accountant by trade, and the classes are always during tax season, and it's really hard to get the class, you know, a 100-hour class in. But I finally did. I went to a call. Got sucked into it, and you know, I'm not meaning to offend anybody, but it was a little old lady, mm-hmm. and she can't breathe, and she's looking at me with those terrified eyes, and I can't do anything because I'm not medically trained, and I don't have the oxygen, and I said right there, I am going to get medically trained because I don't like helpless.
Yeah,
and that's how you feel when. You need epi. They need epi, and you can't to counter the allergic reaction, and you don't have it, and it's a terrible feeling, and you know we've grabbed them and threw them in the command rig, and you start heading to the ambulance because you know the ambulance is coming,
right?
And you meet somewhere, and you know we're not supposed to do that, you know, because we're not in a transporting agency, and you know you. Pick your battles and you get whacked.
Do what you have to do. I mean, conversely, it's got to, you know, and Gabby, you've had that experience because you've been involved with the medical, but it's got to be a great feeling when you're in that situation, you go, I know what to do here. And you solve the problem. I mean, that's got to be pretty incredible.
The best part, I think, is you have the tools and you know how to use them. You know, so the medications are, honestly, they're just a tool. That's all they are. You train on how to use them the right way and the right situations, and you use them. And it's just another kind of tool you have in your toolbox to kind of help people. So it's just nice to know that you have what you need in different situations and that you can get the patient what they need in that situation instead of, you know, trying to maybe recreate the wheel and try to figure out how can we keep this patient stabilized until we get what we need. We might as well just have that tool there, you know, right. That we can use.
Bob, before we run out of time, we got about a minute left, and I never want you guys to come in without sharing information on how people can contact you in case they're interested and say, you know what, I want to be a part of that. I want to help. Because even these departments that say, you know what, I've got pretty good numbers, they could always use more. What can people do? Who can they contact if they want to find out more information about joining Tri-Lakes?
So if you go out on our website, Tri-Lakes VFD, so for Volunteer Fire Department, TriLakesVFD.com, and there's an application out there that you can fill out and get it back to me, and it tells you exactly how to get it back to me. We do a background check, and we'll get you in for an interview, and which we have to, you know, interview everybody with the same questions, and get you appointed and get you contributing. It really isn't that difficult. If you have time and you have a desire, we have a place for you. If you send an application to us and it makes more sense that you should be on a different department, I'll get you in touch with that person. We just want the person to get into the volunteer system and be contributing, because we all, there's no such thing as enough.
Yeah.
You take the volunteers and we're out of time, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, cool.
Sorry, Bob.
It's all right.
Bob Drake and Gabby Walker, thanks for coming in today.
You bet. Thank you for having us.
I'm Troy Shockley, and that's it for Coffee Break today. Be sure to check us out on iTunes. Head on over. Give us a review there. That's always much appreciated. Or swing by coffeebreak959.podbean.com. Coffee Break, brought to you by News Radio 95 KCAP. We'll see you back here again tomorrow.